Welcome to today's podcast from Heritage of Faith Gold Coast. For more information about us, visit heritageoffaith.com.au. We hope you'll be blessed by today's message.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to think that everything is a stand-up, walk-out miracle, but on the 4th of December, I got a new hip, a hip replacement, and I'm just road testing it at the moment. You know, when you get a new car, you got to run it in. Well, I'm running it in at the moment, 4th of December. I had that hip replaced, and I had a spinal block, so I was awake for it. And I prayed, Lord, help me. I want to, you know, you always pray before you go under the knife or anything like that. But I was awake for it. And I remember lying on the operating table because they let me take my iPod in there to listen to my latest, you know, preaching or whatever. I remember lying there on the table hearing a bit of hammering in the background. And I remember lying there thinking, God, I know I prayed you'd help me get through, but I had no idea I'd enjoy it. I should be believing for angels right now. So God is able to bring us through no matter what. We thank God for surgeons. I remember Kenneth Hagin prayed once when his wife wasn't well, he prayed that she would be strong enough to go through an operation. So praise God that he does use doctors as well. Amen. But I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, and I have a word for the house. I have a word for the pastors here, and if you've come for prayer, I'd love to pray for people here today. But I want us to have a look. First of all, I want to say that continue to pray for those people that are going through the fires, and I believe that... We are going to see, just as Pastor Sean was saying, we're going to see that cloud open up and miraculous rain being poured out upon our nation, and pray for mercy for our nation, and don't give up praying for that. But I want to say that also and it's great to be here and a great honour. Thank you to the pastors and also Pastor Sean and Megan for having me. And to be here on the first Sunday of the year is a great honour. And I love Heritage of Faith. I unashamedly say it is one of my most favourite places. And don't you love the message of faith that comes through everything that's said? Yeah. And the name Heritage of Faith. Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith in the earth? Yeah, come on, yeah. So that there would be, you know, there would be a contending for this faith. Amen? Yeah. There'd be people that are giving up on believing. And who knows that it's not just a walk in the park, that sometimes there's a contending. And I believe that 2019 for some people was, it's almost like, well, I'm glad I got through it. And I felt like God was giving me a word about understanding that he's a God of times and seasons, and he's repositioning the church. And as he repositions the church, he is coming into a new position in your life and around about your life. And so I want to just turn to a couple of chapters in the Old Testament and then just point out the fact that they're probably the most dramatic chapters in the Old Testament, only eclipsed by the chapters in the New Testament that speak about Calvary and the resurrection. Amen? Because God is a big God, but he's a God of times and seasons, and he's been preparing the church. And I believe 2020 is a year where God is completing a cycle. You've come to the end of a cycle to come into what God has for this next season in our lives. And I am truly excited about this year. And as we were greeted at the door by, Jim and the other leaders, and was said was, this is going to be the best year of your life. Isn't that awesome to be greeted as you walk into church? This is going to be the best year of your life. And I love that because I believe in the times and seasons that it actually is going to be the best year of your life so far and beyond. Amen? And so I want us to turn to the book of Joshua because the book of Joshua was all about taking their inheritance and taking their promised land. And as I believe that we are going on in God, and in one of those things that happened to Joshua was he was given the promise of inheritance, but the promise came with a word that was, everywhere the sole of your foot treads, I'm going to give it to you. And who knows that sometimes what God has for you and I will have to be taken out of the enemy's hands. Who knows, there's a contending. Finish this statement for me. And the prince married the princess, and they all lived. I want to say, if you believe in that theory, you'll never ever enter into your destiny. That only happens in movies and on TV. Amen. While I was recuperating, I was watching the Crown series, you know. And but I remembered actually something Margaret Court said, and she was introduced to the royal family. They brought into the royal box at the tennis, and as she was shaking hands with, Prince Charles and other members of the royal family, the Lord spoke to her and he said, you know, you're more royal than they are. You're more royal. You're the royal family of God. Amen. And it's unprecedented blessing God wants to bring you and I into. And sometimes it's like the children of Israel of the Old Testament got it quicker and better than we did, because 1% of the world's population is Jewish and they own 25% of the wealth. And who knows that they've got a revelation that God wants to give the church, that you are the royal family, that you are the chosen through Abraham, the seed of Abraham through Christ. You receive the same blessing. Amen. And God wants us to lift our vision and lift our expectation, but there has been a contending. So I want us to look in the book of Joshua, and because we're going deeper into faith, deeper into destiny. Turn to someone and say, I'm going deeper this year. Amen. Deeper into intimacy. And as Joshua went in and he took Jericho, and it says that the nations round about began to fear because of what the Lord God did there for them when they brought down the walls of Jericho. But then Joshua, who had been mentored by Moses for 40 years, the Bible says as they came to the next city of Ai, he doesn't pray. There's a sense of he's pumped, they're on a roll, they're getting victory all around about them. As they go to Ai, it was just a little city, so they said, just send up a few thousand men. We won't take the whole army in there. But who knows that God knows things you and I don't know. Amen? Men ought always to pray and not give up. And that word ought is not like we say a suggestion, a good idea, or ought to bring in the washing, it's going to rain or something. Ought means it's necessary to pray, so we don't end up giving up. And so here Joshua is going in, and Ai, they get smashed, and he seeks the Lord, gets his divine strategy. The whole army's got to go in, and they take the city, and so they're on it. They're keeping on going. They're going deeper. The next thing you see is that Joshua and his men, they are tricked by the Gibeonites. And God said to the people, when you go in to take the land of Canaan, do not make any covenant with the enemy nations that are there. And so they'd heard, the enemy nations had heard, and Gibeon had heard that. So they got a few Gibeonites with moldy bread and old clothes, and they came up to Joshua and the elders and said, we've come from the other side of the world. We're not in Canaan. We're from the other side of the world. We've heard about your great God, and we want to be in covenant with you. And so Joshua doesn't pray. The elders don't pray. And they come into covenant with Joshua, only to find as they march over the next hill, there's this big city of Gibeon. Now they're stuck with them. They have to find jobs for them. They have to protect them. They're going to get a free ride because Joshua is going to have to look after them. And God is serious about covenant. And you know, sometimes the setbacks that we have, because the Bible says that all Israel murmured against Joshua. That's not a good thing. That's not a good place where you feel like, have you ever felt like I should be making better choices? I should be further along than this. And I had great plans to go in and take my destiny and my inheritance, and now I've got these dumb decisions that have slowed me down. And then the Bible says, you think that's bad, and Joshua's got everybody murmuring against him. As they step into the next chapter, the Bible says, five enemy kings hear that the Gibeonites are now in covenant with Joshua. And they are angry with Gibeon, which was an enemy city, but now it's come into covenant. So they form a coalition, these five enemy kings, and they form the armies together, form a coalition, and said, we're going to go and we're going to smash Gibeon for this. And so here, Gibeonites call upon Joshua, and he has to actually drag the whole army of Israel into a fight that they shouldn't have had to fight. There was an unnecessary fight. And he probably was thinking by this time, dumb and dumber. Why didn't I see that coming? And sometimes our decisions, our less than ideal decisions, can set us up, and we start to feel like we're failing. And maybe this year there's been some decisions, maybe there's been some situations you thought, I could have handled that better. I could have made better choices. But I want to say this, it never takes God by surprise. Amen? It never takes God by surprise. But maybe you're here today and you say, well, look, I've followed the Lord. I've done everything, I've to the best of my ability. I've prayed, I've served, I've paid my tithes, and yet I feel like I've gone backwards. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14 very quickly. Keep your place there in Joshua. But I want to just bring out something in Exodus chapter 14. And it says there, they had just actually, God had brought them out from under the power of Pharaoh with all those miracles. And he's leading them forth. They've come out with all those miracles. And then the judgment where the firstborn is killed. And so Pharaoh lets them go. And they've got away from Pharaoh. But in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may turn back and camp before Pi Haroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. And you shall camp them before by the Red Sea. So he actually said, as he's taking them forward, now turn back. Turn back. And I'm going to put you in a situation where you're going to feel absolutely trapped. Pi Haroth means a place full of canyons. It was like crevices and sheer rock faces. There was nowhere to go there. Migdol was an enemy stronghold. Behind them, there was the pathway of the Egyptians who had decided the children of Israel are bewildered. They've gotten all confused and now they're trapped. And they can't go forward because of the Red Sea. And the Pharaoh had decided after a while, we're going to lose hundreds and thousands of slaves. Who's going to build the pyramids? Who's going to do all our work? And then he got angry and he comes with his chariots and with all the army of Egypt bearing down. And God said, turn back and camp here. God led them into a trap. God backed them into a corner. God backed them into a dead-end place. And you might say, well, I've been doing everything right. I've been, sowing my tithe. I've been praying. I've been earnestly following the Lord. I want you to know that God is never, ever tricked or trapped. Amen? That every dead end can become a doorway to such a breakthrough. But he allowed them to be in that place. And it says there, the Pharaoh would say, they're bewildered. And I'll allow Pharaoh's heart to be hardened and he'll pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army. And all of the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Amen? And if we want big breakthroughs, God's looking for big faith. God's looking for people who'll dream the dream he has for them. To believe God for the miracles. So when you look at the Bible says not looking at the seen, but looking at the unseen. Yeah. And then maybe there's been some impossibilities, and I have found anything worthwhile having in God, there's been a fight on about it. And each one of my children, there was a contending. I remember when as a young Christian mum and younger, and it's all really relative now. I wanted to keep my kids in a Christian school, and even though I had been trained in a stockbroking firm, and that the only job I could get was in a nursing home in the kitchen. I'd arrive there at 6 o'clock in the morning and start peeling potatoes. And I remember saying to the Lord, you know, what's wrong with this picture? This does not feel like abundant life. Not what I had in mind. I want you to know that sometimes there's a contending for the breakthrough. I look back over my old journals because, unfortunately, you know, I'd like to say I got saved and God waved a magic wand and everything fell into place. But I was a single mom. I got saved. I was a pregnant teenager. Got saved as a single mom when my daughter was a month before she turned 3. And as I knelt by my little girl's bed and said, Lord, help me to raise this child so she doesn't turn out like I did, so she doesn't take drugs, so she doesn't hitchhike at 2 o'clock in the morning, so she doesn't live crazy like I did, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And I'd like to say I never faced another problem. But I was instantly born again, but still very broken in my soul. And I married the first person that was kind to me. Married Dr. Jekyll and met Mr. Hyde a bit later. So, nearly 14 years on, I never thought I'd walk through the fires of divorce. And 2 more children, and I would go through it all again to have those children. But I remember saying, God, well, I can't serve you now. I've got the big D over my life. I'm a divorced person. But I want you to know that God is bigger than divorce. God is bigger than every problem. God is bigger than whatever you're facing. And so as I was raising my kids, I struggled with some issues. And I remember my son when, and praise God, actually, I just want to flip back again. And it was nearly about 6.5 years later that I met Jeffrey. And he has been a wonderful husband. Praise the Lord. But sometimes that there is a working through the issues. And I remember as my son left school and he was a bit scattered, but I'd taken him to Sunday school when he was young, and he had grown up in a Christian home. But the only job he ended up getting when he left school was in a hotel. And it wasn't in a flash restaurant hotel. It was in the public bar at the pub, at one of the pubs at the Redcliffe Peninsula. It was actually at Woody Point. And as a Christian mum, I'd stand at the back of the public bar with men leaning up, having a beer, seeing my son pulling beers. And I remember thinking, God, that's not what I planned. That's not how I envisioned my son ending up. That, you know, I worked in nursing homes and places to see that he got every opportunity. I want you to know, hold on, it's going to get a whole lot better. Hold on, it's going to get a whole lot better, because there was a contending for his inheritance. There was a contending. Today, I wish that I had been able to look through the lens of Jesus Christ, the lens of faith, and see down through the years and to see him now as a wonderful and fine husband and a wonderful and fine father with his own business as a carpenter. But at that time, I felt like I should be further along. I should see more breakthrough. And as my daughter went through a breakup of a relationship and ended up being anorexic and ended up having a boyfriend who was involved in drugs, and she actually moved in with him, I remember visiting her and trying to get through to her, there was just like such a barrier. And she said, Mom, why are you judging me? And I'm saying, not judging you, darling. I'm frightened for your future. I'm concerned for where you're headed. You know, as a Christian, you know that how you're living isn't right. I love you, and I love you enough to tell you how you're living is not going to take you anywhere good. And as I shared with her, you know, I drive away crying. And I know what it's like if you're having issues with a teenager, if you're having issues with a family relationship that isn't whole. But I want you to know that if I'd looked through the lens of Jesus Christ, through the lens of faith, and looked down today to see her as a Christian mother, that she's working in a Christian school, that she preaches the gospel, that people say to me, if you can't come, can you send your daughter Peter to preach? And she prophesies and she shares the word. But you see, at that time, I was thinking, I should see more breakthrough. I should see more for standing in faith. I've found this, that God will take you the long way because he's more interested in what gets deposited in your heart than a quick fix. He's not the God of the short term. He's a gradualist. He's the God of the long path, but he wants it to stick and to stay. And as he led them, he said, turn back. And if you felt like, I feel like I went backward in some of the months of 2019, hold on. God's going to turn that around in a great way. And I want you to see a scripture here in Exodus chapter 14. And it says there, that, you know, as the children of Israel cried to the Lord, and they struggled and they were afraid. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of your God. God said, tell them to go forward. Hang on a minute. Do I stand still and see the salvation of God, or do I go forward? Both. Both. Because you can't go forward if there isn't a standstill and see God's salvation in your heart. Amen? Yes. There's got to be a rest. There's got to be my heart is standing in a place of trusting you so I can go forward out of that place. Amen? Amen. And I want you to see what happened. And it says the angel of the Lord, this is verse 19, and the angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. Oh, I'd love this in a Spielberg movie, wouldn't you? This, I'd love it like the Marvel comic heroes, you know. And the God who was going, and the angel of the Lord, the cloud, moved to the back of the camp. God's getting into position today. God's moving around about your life and getting into position. Because when he went to the back, he basically became light to the children of Israel as the wind blew and the Red Sea rescue was opened up. But it was darkness to the Egyptians. And he got into position behind them because the glory of the Lord is your rear guard and he's got your back covered and you're going to walk through into places, a place of great miracles. I know I've got for 5 grandchildren. The youngest one is a little guy that was adopted, and he is of Chinese heritage, and he's 5 now. But I want to say, as a grandmother, I'm fiercely protective. And when you're there with your child or grandchild, and they're on the playground, and they're there, and you start to see a few bullies coming around, they want that swing. They want that, or they start mocking, making Chinese eyes. Very cruel. Bullies are cruel. I tell you what, as a grandmother, I slowly get behind him. You going okay there, Jack? And I eyeball those bullies. Amen? God's just got behind you. Hallelujah. Whoa! I tell you what, he is zealous and jealous over your life and jealous for you to get a breakthrough. Hallelujah. But there has been a contending, and sometimes you feel like I've gone backwards in 2019. When will I see the miracles? Hallelujah. Hold on. It's going to get a whole lot better. God parted the Red Sea. They came out with miraculous breakthrough and all the wealth of Egypt on their backs. Hallelujah. Amen. So turn back with me to Joshua and I'll highlight a couple of things as we just pull this together. And so the enemy kings come together and in a coalition against Joshua. And so here he is. He's had to take the people of Israel into a battle that he they shouldn't have had to face. So we're going to go to verse 7 of Joshua chapter 10. Well, Joshua 6, it says, do not forsake your servants. Come quickly and save us, for the kings of the Amorites have gathered together against us. Verse 7, so Joshua descended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. For not a man will stand before you all the days of your life. And they came upon them, Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. I tell you what, God's about to bring suddenlies into your life, and many times they're preceded with a long march through 2019. A long march believing God, a long march being weary. Some of you, God's going to break discouragement off. God's going to break that weariness. It's almost like, well, God, I've prayed and I haven't seen anything. Hold on, it's going to get a whole lot better. The long dark night of the soul. You've sat up and you've prayed and you've said, God, is this as good as it gets? Hold on, it's going to get a whole lot better. Amen? And so as they, you see, Gilgal to Gibeon was like about 30 Ks, but it wasn't flat bitumen road. I used to hitchhike from Redcliffe to Brisbane quite often. Thank God for his protection. I could be statistic today, but glory to God. He kept me alive and he saved my soul. But it was flat bitumen road. This was rugged terrain that rose 4,000 feet above sea level. It wasn't all mapped out with bitumen road. They had to clamber over rocks. They had to carry their armor. Joshua, the Bible says that, you know, they would have been tired after all night clambering over those rocks. But it says there they came upon them suddenly and they chased them all the way to Beth Horon. And it says there that the Lord threw great hailstones from heaven, and more were killed by the hailstones than anything that the army of Joshua could kill. God's going to supernaturally get involved in every circumstance of your life. The Bible says that as they began to see the great victory, the sun was going down, and they were going to lose because the enemy would regroup under the cover of darkness. Now, Joshua, who had had setbacks, who'd had, you know, God, I'm so sorry, I've kind of like gone backwards. When he talked to the Lord, God put such a spirit of boldness upon him, amen? God's going to bring boldness around about your life. And the Bible says as he spoke to the Lord, as he prayed, the Lord gave him a boldness to actually speak to the planets, glory to God. And I want you to know, God's going to get involved in your life. And he spoke and he said, sun stand still over the valley of Ajalon. Moon stand still. He actually held up the planets because one man prayed. And he's opening up the windows of heaven over your life. Amen. And it's recorded in the Bible. I do not believe this is a fable. I don't think this is a parable at all. I believe it really happened. Because God said it, and I believe it. And if he'll hold up the planets for one man, what won't he do for one Christian who's in covenant with Jesus Christ, for a covenant of blessing over your household, a covenant of breakthrough over your family? Amen? And as he spoke, hallelujah, it says, and the moon stood still, and the sun stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? That word Jasher means justice. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? Amen? It says in Isaiah 40, has the Lord passed over my just claims? No. The courts of heaven are open, and God has allowed some circumstances that he would get a greater glory, that your faith would rise to a greater level. Amen? And there is a book about your life, and God's about to set the record straight. Amen? There's a book of justice. There's a book of things to be turned around because the righteous are believing God. Glory to God. And he's going to get the glory because of a greater miracle. Hallelujah. I remember when my daughter struggled for years to have a child. Every one of my children I've had to fight for in a circumstance. And after 10 years of different things, IVF and having to go, and not having to, but going down the adoption route, and then 4 and 5 years of waiting, I remember the contending, the grief in her heart. Doesn't God want to bless me? Doesn't God want to give me children? And as we fought the good fight of faith, and as I stood in church with her and her husband, and we took communion just again as we did today, saying, God, you're faithful. God, give my daughter a baby. Give my daughter a child. And as we took that communion again and believed God again, the next day she rang me and she said, "Mum, are you sitting down?" I said, "Why?" She said, "We got the call." I said, "What call? What are you talking about?" She said, "The call." I said, "What call? The call. The call from the overseas orphanage. They've just matched us with a little boy, a little Chinese boy, a little boy, and he's 18 months old." And joy filled our hearts, and it absolutely impacted every member of our extended family. The unsaved men, people could see, well, God is faithful. And the joy, as we all waited at the Brisbane airport a few months later to welcome this beautiful child. But, you know, once again, as you know, his glory is gorgeous, that as she went through the application for a second child, and I thought, surely this will be easier. But you know what? She got a message from the orphanage saying, we're getting shut down by the government. Your applications are being sent to South Korea if you want, or you can wait, but we don't give much hope that there'll be any more children released. And Maddie, my daughter, said, "Mum, I really believe for a child from the same orphanage." And so for the next few months, we fought that good fight of faith. And we believed God, and we stood in faith. And I said, God, for another child. It's not hard for you. But the fight of faith, where the enemy tries to wear out the saints until it's time to possess the kingdom. And when she got the call, and she said, "Mum, I got the call. They've matched us with a little boy, and he's just turned one. And our hearts are so full, he's going to be arriving in the next couple of months. But we are so excited because God is good. And it becomes all the more precious because of the wait. Amen. No matter what you're waiting for, no matter what you're believing God for, maybe it's for a job, maybe in your finances. But I want to say this, that as they went through that circumstance and they were fighting the enemy, Joshua returned to the camp. And the five enemy kings had fled and hidden themselves in the cave of Makeda. The word Makeda means the place of the shepherds. The devil just doesn't want the world. He wants your inheritance. He wants your breakthrough. He wants your blessing. And the Bible says that Joshua came around the cave and he said, "Roll away the stone." They brought out those enemy kings that were hiding in there. And then he broke with protocol because he would normally just slay them. But he broke with protocol when he brought around the captains and lieutenants. And he brought these five enemy kings out. And he said to his men, "Put your foot on the neck of the enemy. Put your foot." You see, Jesus Christ destroyed the greatest Amorite king. The greatest enemy was Satan, amen? But we have to enforce the victory to the minions that are left in those areas, to drive out the inhabitants, to put your foot on the neck of some things, to stand in fight, to know that God will watch over his word to perform it when it's in our mouth, amen? And today, I believe we're going to put our foot on the enemy, because as they brought these enemy kings out and he brought forth his captains and his leaders, he said, "Put your foot on the neck of the enemy." And we're going to do a demonstration right now. So, Megan, could you get my five enemy kings and five captains? And I want us to do a demonstration because Joshua really made a point of this. He really hammered this. And so, praise the Lord. Amen. Megan, could you just highlight five really fit guys there that would be the enemy kings? So just highlight them. Now, you're just going to be enemy kings for a few minutes. Okay, I want all the enemy kings up here with me. Okay, we got five and we got one, two, three, four, five. Excellent. So, John, could you just lie down on the floor up there? And you, sir, could you lie down on the floor? You guys, come up here. We need some. Could you three lie down on the floor? Yeah. If you could spread out a bit. So there's room. Over here, sir, sorry. Yeah. Oh. Now, you can face around the other way, yeah. That's it. So if you could lie down and face around. Yeah, that's it. Excellent, great, wonderful. Now, you're captains of God's army. I want you to come up and pick an enemy king, and you're going to put your foot on the neck of him. Okay, now, enemy kings, no laughing. You've been defeated. Now, be gentle. Put your foot on the neck of one, two, three. Oh, we've got one in the middle here. Be careful, Tony. He's okay, over here. Now, have you got enough room there? Actually, this enemy king, could you just move down here? I'm sorry. We just really want to get this. Yeah, okay. Rightio. Put your foot on the neck of the enemy. It's okay. It's not going to hurt him. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he won't mind. Just put your foot right down. Yeah, that's it. On the neck. Okay. Now, why did Joshua do this? Because God wants to set a precedent. And he's saying, church, I'm giving you a visual in the Bible. You've got to get it in your heart. You've got to feel it, that he's under your feet today. Poverty's under your feet. That family problem, it's under your feet. Those marriage problems is under your feet today. Hallelujah. That stronghold, that addiction, that fear is under your feet today. Get it on the inside. Get it in your heart. Get it in your spirit. Head knowledge is weak knowledge. You can teach a budgie to say, Jesus loves me and the cattle still eat it. You got to get it in your heart. Faith in the heart. Hallelujah. It says, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe for my family. I believe for my marriage. I believe for my finances. Get the feel of it under your feet today. Hallelujah. Amen. God has given us a visual today. And he said, I'll hold up the planets. I'll hold up the circumstances of your life. If you'll only believe me, the greatest thing God wants is to be believed. If you want to break my heart, just have one of my kids show up and say, Mom, I don't believe you. I don't believe you love me. I don't believe you care about me. Or one of my grandchildren, you see, they have the run of my house. Glory to God. They can have anything. And I love it to be so. And God loves it to be so. And God wants you to know the only key that's going to unlock this new season is faith. For this is the substance of things hoped for, the manifestation of things not yet seen. It said that there remaineth these things, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love, for faith works by love, that I know he loves me. Let's give them a hand. Glory to God. All the Philistine kings are now being saved. In the name of Jesus, woo! Glory to God. Amen. Could we just stand right now? I'd have the musicians come. You see, what happened after that? God used Joshua's mistakes to up the ante, flush out the five enemy kings. Because they would get taking one city, Jericho, Ai. God said, no, we've got to speed this up. I'm going to use your mistakes to flush out the enemy. I'm actually going to use your setbacks, your dumb decisions to promote you. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. Yes. And whether God's actually led you up the garden path like a lamb led to the slaughter because he wants to bring forth a mighty miracle, or whether you've made some dumb decisions and you've said, Lord, I feel tricked, trapped and cornered, no problem to God, no problem to Jesus. But he said, when I come, will I find faith in the earth? See, after that time, the Bible says, Joshua took those five enemy kings. Then he took 10 kings and 20 cities until the whole northern campaign was completed. Went on to the southern campaign. It was the other way around. But he went on to take all his inheritance. But it began with a big battle of faith. And today, God wants you to know, 2019, there was some preparation. And it felt like God said, turn back. Felt like you kind of like didn't go as forward as you would like to. This is a year of great miracles. This is a year of unprecedented abundance. Just lift your hands. For the Lord would say, surely even know that as 20 years represents completion of a cycle. know that in the fullness of time, as I sent Jesus, there is a fullness of time coming over your lives and over this church. And I'm releasing a season of suddenlies, and I'm bringing an acceleration of God's promises, prophecies and plans. You're about to go forward, but you're about to go beyond anything you've seen before. But the word of the Lord is bringing the word advance into your spirit. And I'm releasing the cloud of my presence that will be filled with miracles, filled with favor. And you'll walk under an unprecedented level of an open heaven. And the favor is going to come, even where you've been through unfavorable circumstances. To those who survived the sword and found favor in the wilderness, know that I'm the God of all the families of the earth, and your greatest victories will be released, and you'll be the head and not the tail. For I am your rear guard, and a fire does go before you. And I'll give you back the 20 years of waiting. I'll give you back the 20 years of contending, and I'll give you double for your trouble. For as you've gotten into position in faith with me, know that I'm moving into position to bring breakthrough over thee. For the Lord says it surely will be by an outstretched arm and a mighty hand of God. For you do not need to fight in this battle in the natural, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord your God. For I will surely do what you couldn't do. For God says, I'm still the God who brought forth a Red Sea rescue. I brought forth a breakthrough when there was no way to go forward. And God says, I'm opening up a way where there's been no way. And all you need to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord your God. And go forward in faith, singing and praising me and saying, giving thanks to the Lord, for my covenant love endures forever. Hallelujah. I want you just to put your hand over your heart this morning. For the Lord says, know that I'm bringing a fresh word of hope, a fresh word of faith. Are you going to know that as you decree and declare a thing, it will happen? For there is an anointing to decree, even in such a great way, the miracles, the promises of God that are yea and amen. And I'm bringing forth a great yes and amen over your lives. This will be the year of the yes. This will be the year of the amen from the people of God. So God says, know that as you're in agreement with me, know that heaven is in agreement with you this day. Hallelujah. Pastor Sean and Megan, could you just lift up your hands right now? The Lord says, son and daughter, get ready, for I'm raising up in this place, even a great army, but a great family gathering. And God says, you're going to gather the war horses. You're going to gather those that have been prepared as the word of the Lord went forth in the time of Esther on specially bred steeds. God says it's a prophetic picture of the spirit of revival that I'm bringing amongst you. And you're going to raise up even those that were like the light horsemen that liberated the wells of Beersheba. God says that there is a breakthrough anointing over this house to train up and equip the end time warriors. And it shall be many that will gather to come into a place of receiving the word of faith and the word of hope. For many have gone into, as it were, almost like the letter of the law. But the letter of the law kills, but the spirit brings life. And this will be a life-breathing, life-giving house. And many that come under this cloud will be supernaturally blessed. And there'll be breakthrough in businesses, breakthrough in marriages, and breakthrough in finances. For God says, I'm going to honor your faith and even the declarations that you've made. And God says, get ready to go forward. And even a door of promotion in the realm of the spirit. For promotion comes not from the east or the west. Promotion comes from the Lord, says God. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Tony and Kathy, if you just lift your hands, the Lord says this is your year of breakthrough. This is your year of moving forward with acceleration. And even the dreams that you've had in your heart, there'll be great gatherings and there'll be great souls coming into the kingdom. And I'm going to save even those from the uttermost and the guttermost, but I'm going to even save them for those from upper echelons of society. Even I'm going to bring in the businessmen. I'm going to bring in the politicians. I'm going to bring in those that are the kings as well as the priests. And there's going to be a great harvest in this house. The Lord says even the word of hope that's in your heart, you're going to be a hope heralding, hope declaring. You're going to bring hope to the hopeless. Light to those that sit in darkness will see a bright light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast from Heritage of Faith Gold Coast. For more information, or if you have any questions, please go to our website, heritageoffaith.com.au. Have a blessed week.